Well, good morning. I'm going to begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation, the NLT. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ." So He is the foundation for everything that we do, everything that we say. He is the foundation for it. And if He is not the foundation for what we do, what we say, then we got a problem. He is the firm foundation upon which all of Scripture stands. I can show you Jesus from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. Every book in the Bible has Him in it. It may not have the name Jesus in it, but He's in it. You know, He is in the book of Genesis, He's the seed of the woman. In the book of Genesis again, He is called Shiloh. He is called you hear of Him as being called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That comes straight out of the book of Genesis chapter 49. The book of Revelation, it talks about Him being the light which lights the New Jerusalem. There are so many different descriptions of Him, and He is the foundation for everything that we say, everything that we do. And the life that we have is all because of Him. It's all because of Him. And it is a good, good foundation when we have Him as our foundation. Now, I want to begin today with some good news. Some good news, not bad news. If you've been watching TV, you've been seeing some bad news. You've been hearing some bad things. But I want to begin today with some good news. Even if you may perchance be going through what feels like, what looks like, what seems to be hell on earth, I'm going to give you some good news. God is greater than your difficult situations. God is greater than the greatest challenge that you will ever face. Oh my goodness, He is greater than any of that. For you see, God is greater than the devil. I said, God is greater than the devil. Help is available, deliverance is available, salvation is available, and freedom is available. Yes, and not only are they available to you and to me, available to all of humanity, but it is God's idea, it is God's plan, it is God's desire that you have all of these good things of which I speak. Oh, it's good news, it's good news, it's good news. We don't preach the bad news, we preach the good news. It is good news. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Now, there are things that are seen and there are things that are unseen. Satan is referred to in many different terms, and we'll look at some of the scriptures, a few of the scriptures, but he is called the god of this age. He is called the prince or the ruler of the power of the air. He is called the adversary, your adversary. He is called the devil. He is called a roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour. He is called the deceiver. He is called the liar. He is called the murderer from the beginning. These are just different titles. And he is your enemy. He is your enemy. But the good news is God is greater than him. God is greater than him. So let's go over to the book of John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 33. I encourage you, if you don't read the Word of God, to read the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God contains the power of God to change your life. People think, well, you know, it can change my thinking. Yeah, it can. And it should. And if you get into it, it will if you give yourself to it. But it also has power to transform your life. And I encourage you to get into it. And the book of John is a great place to start. If you're not somebody that's been reading the Word of God, I encourage you, start in the book of John It is the most intimate picture of Jesus that there is in the Bible. It is wonderful. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. That's Jesus speaking. If you've got a red letter edition, this is in red. He says, be of good cheer, take heart, for I have overcome the world. He says, I have overcome the world. Now, this word world in the Greek, it is how we would pronounce cosmos. Now, it's spelled with a K, K-O-S-M-O-S. And it really means, and to its most basic essence, it means orderly arrangement. Orderly arrangement. But you need to understand, it is the orderly arrangement that the devil has put into place. It's really talking about the world system. Jesus has overcome the world system and the world system's leader, which is the devil himself. So that's, I just wanted to say that, because we have this mindset that when he talks about the world, you know, we're talking about this globe that we were on, this Terran globe, this planet. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the world system, which is orderly arranged by the devil. And I can show you this. I'm not going to today, but he has set it up to where you're just running on like a mouse's wheel going nowhere. That is the world system. And it's very clearly defined that way when you understand Scripture, and that's what the devil tries to get us to do. And he is the prince of the power of the air. He is the one who is behind it and driving it. John chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse 30. It says, I won't speak with you much, I won't speak with you much longer. For the ruler of the dark world, same word is coming, but he has no power over me, for he has nothing to use against me. The King James says he has nothing in me. I like this translation. I like the King James both. He has nothing to use against me. He has nothing in me. Jesus was saying, I have never sinned, and he never did sin. Never, not one time. The devil had nothing to use against him. That's why he came. Only one without sin could take the place and pay the price for someone who had, and that's all the rest of us. And he is the only one who ever qualified. He came, he was tempted, he never failed, not one time. He overcame every time, and he could literally say, the enemy, your enemy, has nothing to use against me. He has nothing to use against me. He is what we would call the victor. He is the victor. He is the victor. Hallelujah. And then in Revelation chapter 12, I want to read verses 9 and 10 out of the book of Revelation. It says, so the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old called the devil. These are some of the names, that serpent of old, the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then in verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Now, the reason I wanted to look at this is because it describes Satan as the accuser of the brethren. And he will go before God and accuse you. He is looking for something to use. And he even went before God trying to accuse Jesus. But Jesus could literally say, he has nothing in me. There is nothing that he can use in me. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. He is the victor, and he will go before God trying to accuse you. But when you are in Christ, it says, in whom? In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So he wipes out your sins when you are in him, and you are forgiven in Him, you can stand before God, and the devil can accuse you of all of your past, and he will bring his DVD of your past, and he will put it in the DVD player and say, I'm going to accuse them before God. But when he hits the play button, there's nothing there, because you've been forgiven. It's been wiped out by the blood of Jesus. He is the victor. He's wiped it out on your behalf. He is the victor, but not for himself, but for you. And Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says here, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He is the victor. He won the victory. He is the one who shed His blood that we might have eternal life. He is the one whose blood wipes out our sins. He is the victor. But I want you to understand, He's not just the victor for Himself. He is the victor. He came to do this for us. He was in heaven. He was already victorious. He came to face all of these challenges and to win the battle, so that you might also be a victor. Hallelujah. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. These are the words of Jesus. So he is called the thief here. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus says, and I came that they, that's us, that they, that's us, that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now, when he uses the word life in the Greek, that is the word zoe, Z-O-E. And it means the life of God, the life of abundance, the life where you have everything you need and more. He wants that life, as it says here, to have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That is God's idea for your life. That is not my idea, that is His idea. You see, Jesus is the victor, but He is the victor for us. When we are in Him, when we are born again, knowing what He has provided us with, oh my goodness. When we are walking by faith, receiving what He has provided us with, oh my. When we are walking in victory that He has provided for us, we are in Him, we have a life of abundance, a life of overflow. And that's what He has supplied. He is Jesus, the victor for us when we are in Him and walking in Him. So we have that abundant life that He has provided. Now let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to begin in verse 35. It says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the Scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. The King James puts it this way, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from the love of from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I want you to see that it says that overwhelming victory is ours. How? Through Christ. It's in Him that we have victory. We're born again, but then we need to learn to walk in Him. In Him. All of the in Him statements in the Bible you need to get a hold of. When you read the Bible and it talks about in Him I have this, in Him I am this, in Him this is mine, in Him, in whom, through whom. When you read those phrases, you need to pay close attention to what He says, because He is saying that you have the victory in this area when you're walking in Him. Now, does that mean that we don't have victory when we're not walking in Him? No. God's provided victory everywhere, all the time, but sometimes we're not walking in Him. And so sometimes we step and we try and do things on our own. But when we get a hold of what He has said, you know, it says that we have healing that is available to us. Isaiah 53:5, He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, or with His stripes, we are healed. Then in 1 Peter 2:24, it tells us basically the same thing, but it says, by His stripes we were healed. So He says, the work has been done, it's finished. But we grab hold of it by faith. We access what He has supplied by faith, and we walk in Him in the arena of faith. So we have victory. He's supplied it. He's given us everything we need. And when He says it's yours, it's yours. But you've got to walk in it. Just because you're not walking in it doesn't mean it's not yours. You can have $1 trillion in the bank, but if you don't withdraw from it, it will do you no good. And God has provided you everything you need for life and godliness, but if you don't access it, it won't do you any good. You may be born again, but you're not walking in victory. God has victory for you. It's in Him. You need to learn, getting into the Word of God, what He says is yours, and exercise faith. And don't let your senses, don't let your feelings, don't let other people's words, don't let the devil's words talk you out of it. When He says it's yours, it's yours. Grab hold of it, but you access it one way, and that is by faith. His supply is accessed by faith. So, we see that Jesus is the victor. He is the victor for us when we are in Him. We are in Him. Now, the inception point to this abundant life is receiving Him as your Lord. John chapter 17 and verse 3. And this is the way to have eternal life. This is the way to have eternal life. Again, that's that word Zoe. To know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one You sent to earth. Now, there are many people that have a knowledge in their head of God. There are many people that have sat in church for years, and they have an understanding in their head, and they actually have a belief that God is who He said He is. They even believe that Jesus died for their sins. But what this verse is talking about, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know You. This is not a mental assent thing. To know You. What that really means is to come into a relationship with You. That's what this word means. To come into a relationship, a loving relationship. It also has to do with an approved relationship, and I'll talk about that here in a moment. And it has to do with a relationship that there has been a value assigned to. that you assign the value. I want to know him, and I want to know him above anything and everything else. That is the value that you assign to the relationship. God has already assigned a value to you that is off the charts valuable. When he shed the blood of himself on a cross for you, he paid a price. He said, you're worth this. Off the charts. You can't fully grasp how much he has assigned the value to you. But this relationship is one not only of his value assigned to you, but your value of that you assign to knowing him. And this relationship is you assigning the value, I want to know you. I want to know you by personal experience. I want to know you. And then we come into that loving relationship, but the approved relationship. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is God has assigned a way that you come into this relationship. And it's not from getting to know someone in the natural. You spend time with them, but they're there. You can put your arm around them. God has spoken his word to us. We have the written word of God. It's called the Bible. And he has said, if you will know me through the word by faith, that is the approved relationship. You see, I've never seen him with my eyes, but I know him. I have come into a loving relationship with him because I assigned a value. I want to know you more than anything else. And I know him that way. And because I know him that way, he comes and he dwells in me. It is a valued, esteemed, loving, approved relationship that he's talking about here. To know him, that is to have eternal life. And that's it. That's the only way. But I'm telling you, it's available for every human being. Let me reemphasize this with a couple other verses in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. He says, Jesus told him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one can come to the Father. He's talking about eternal life here. He's talking about your entrance into heaven here. He's talking about that relationship that it mentioned in John 17. No one can come into that except through me. He is the way. He's the only way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. And he is the only way through him to the abundant life that God has provided for you. When Jesus died on a cross and he rose from the dead, he established a new covenant that God spoke to us about in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, God said, I'm going to make a new covenant. And so Jesus, when he established the new covenant, he's establishing what God said he was going to do in Jeremiah 31. He said, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. Not like the covenant that I made with the children of Israel when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, when I delivered them and they rebelled against me. But he says, I led them with an external hand, but he says, I'm going to put my word, my law inside you, and I'm going to lead you internally. So he talked about the new covenant that he was going to establish. Jesus, when we read verses about what we call communion, partaking of communion, the wine and the bread, he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you. This new covenant that we come into, it's not just eternal life. It is abundant life. This abundant life has for you, yes, eternal life, heaven. It has the Heavenly Father as your Father. But it also has abundance in this life. It has provision for you. Financial provision. It has abundance for you in the area of finances. It has peace for you in this time, not just when you get to heaven. It has for you healing. Oh my, it has everything you need for this life, and it is encapsulated within the word covenant. And he established that covenant when he died on a cross and he rose from the dead, and he is coming back very soon. But I'm telling you, you have a covenant with him. And that covenant is your rights and privileges that you have to, you have rights and privileges to access that covenant. And everything he has provided for you is not, it's not being covetous when you access them. God provided them. So for us to talk about finances, I don't mind talking about finances because Jesus supplied it for me. I don't mind talking about peace because he supplied it for me. I don't mind talking about healing because he supplied it for me. It's in my covenant. So in my covenant, it's all supplied for in him. Now, in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," the good news of Christ, "for it is God's power working unto salvation for deliverance from eternal death." Now, let me stop here, because the word salvation in the Greek is the word soteria. Now, I'm not going to give you a Greek lesson or anything like that, but this word, it means salvation as we think of it, which this translation puts deliverance from eternal death. That's true. But it goes beyond that. This word also means healing. This word also means deliverance. This word really means everything that you need. So when he talks about your salvation, he is talking about your everything. "I am not ashamed of the gospel," the good news of Christ, "for it is God's power working unto everything that I have need of, to everyone who believes with a personal trust and confident surrender and firm reliance, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then in the next verse in verse 17, "For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith." A lot of faith in that. "As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live, and shall live by faith." What he's talking about in these two verses is everything that you have need of, he has supplied. It's written in the Word. You get a hold of it by faith, and you pull it into your life. He has supplied it. It is in a storehouse waiting for you to access. And you access it by your faith. He supplied everything that you have need of. The abundant life is supplied for in him. In him. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Everything which comes from God," anything rather, "which comes from God is able to overcome the world. And the power by which we have overcome the world is our faith." The world system and this age is only overcome by faith. And if we do not walk by faith to receive Jesus, boy, in eternity it is going to be a bad situation. But in this time, even after you receive Jesus by faith, you must access the provision that he has made. And this is the victory that overcomes. This is the power which we have that overcomes the world system, this present age. It is our faith. It is our faith. So we have faith in him. It's not in the things. It's in him and his provision. And our faith being in him and in his provision takes you to him, not to being covetous, not to being greedy. I have everything I need and more in him. Then in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, 1 John 4 and verse 4, "You are of God, my little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid of the devil. I said, don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be even afraid of the devil's system. Even the things that you hear in the world, don't be afraid of that. Walk by faith, and no matter what happens, you will have all the provision that you need no matter where you are. In School of the Spirit this morning, I was talking about that very thing, walking, and wherever you are, it may be darkness until you get there. But when you get there, it's no longer darkness because you are light and you shine forth. And it may have been a dry land, but when you get there, there is a fertile land. There is a land of lush and provision. There is a land of everything you need when you're walking with Him. And there you access all of that in Him by faith. So we must access by faith. So, being born again and receiving eternal life is just the first step and the beginning point to the greatest adventure you will ever, can ever take. This great adventure that we call the Christian life. What I speak of is this life of faith which is lived out in the earth hand in hand with the Lord God Almighty, the one who created all things, the one who holds all things together by the word of His power. And this life is lived out with Him, hand in hand with Him. And as we go forward, He is the one who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He Himself has said that He is there to help you. He Himself has said that He is good, and He is good for you, and He is only looking out for your good and not your bad. He Himself has said that He has a plan for us, a plan for you, a plan for me to give us a hope and a future. And I'm telling you, that future is incredibly bright. There is nothing that compares to this life of faith. This Christian life. It is one of immense joy. It is a life of passion and fulfillment and even rest. It is a life of abundant provision and joyful companionship. Not only with God, but with other believers. It is a phenomenal life. It is a life that is off the charts good. We don't even have a chart that goes up that high. That's how good the life of God in the earth now is. It is beyond your wildest imagination. And you say, oh, I thought the Christian life was going to be boring. Oh, no. No, you don't know our God. He is the most creative being that there is. Get a hold of this. He created everything. That makes Him pretty creative. And He can do things that for you, I mean, we got a couple guys sitting back here. You don't know this, but you are an answer to my heart's cry of you coming here. And I've told it a couple of times. I never expressed it, but I love having family around. And I had that heart desire, and then you guys showed up. And you are an answer of my heart's cry. How much does God love me? I didn't even express it in words, but He heard my heart. Now, you need to express it in words. But He is so good. He is so phenomenal. He is so wonderful. He does things for us that we can't even fully comprehend. Again, this life that He has for you is phenomenal. But this life must be received, and it must be done so by faith. It must be received in humility. That is, we must understand we cannot save ourselves. We are powerless to save ourselves. And it must be walked out in faith to receive the massive provision which Jesus Himself has supplied us with. We must be born again. You must be born again. The words of Jesus from John chapter 3. It is that inception point into the life that He has for you. A couple more verses and I'll close. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. And the love of God was made clear to us when He sent His only Son into the world so that we might have life through Him. that we might have life through Him. And then, and Debbie, put this one up in the New Living Translation, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 in the New Living Translation. And it says this: He was handed over to die. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. He was handed over to die because of our sins, but He was raised to life to make us right with God. Now, if you have never received Jesus, the great adventure that I'm talking about, you're not going to be able to live it. You're not going to be able to experience it. You're not going to be able to walk this out without having that eternal life. It says that our sin separates us from God. In order to be brought back into a relationship with Him, that loving relationship with Him, you must confess Jesus as your Lord. And that's the only way. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can they call on Him whom they've not believed? How can they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach with except they be sent? Well, God sent people. He sent me to preach. He sent others to preach. You can get the Word of God all over the place. But I'm telling you, the great adventure of the Christian life begins with the Christ. If you've never received Him, oh, how I encourage you. Receive Him. We're going to pray what we call the sinner's prayer. And it's not, I mean, you could listen to how I close services and it's never exactly the same prayer. But I'm going to tell you, if you will ask Jesus to be your Lord, you believe that He died for your sins and rose from the dead, and you ask Him to be your Lord, in an instant, you can be born again and you can begin this journey of which I speak, the great adventure of the Christian life. I ask everybody in the room to close your eyes, bow your heads, and I'm going to ask all of you to pray this prayer behind me. Those of you online, if you say, I need to receive Jesus, oh, we rejoice. Pray this prayer from your heart. Believe it, and in an instant you can be born again. So just repeat this prayer after me. Father God, I know that I need to be saved. I'm separated from You by my sin. Jesus, You died on a cross for me, taking the price, for paying the price for my sins. You died in my place. You rose from the dead for me. And now, I ask You to save me. I ask You, be my Lord. And I receive eternal life now. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, if you did that, I rejoice with you. It is the greatest thing. It is greater than the planet. I say it's the greatest thing on earth. No, it's greater than the planet. It's the greatest thing that there is, because you have heaven as your home. You have God as your Father. You have Jesus as your Savior. You have the Holy Spirit as your guide. And you have the Word of God to encourage you. You have the body of Christ to be there with you, to help you. And I tell you what, you have begun the greatest adventure that there is. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you again soon.